WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
Hey, what is up, beautiful people? It is Hump Day. Happy Wednesday. Yes, December 10th. We are so glad, so honored, just so happy that you've allowed Current Sports to be a part of your weekday afternoon. Man, oh man, do we have a show in store for you all. As we said yesterday, and we sort of gave you a preview during yesterday's Current Sports, we are going to be talking about athletes and activism. When they should or shouldn't take political or social stance. We'll talk about all of that. We'll also invite Eric Doc Love, high school football and basketball commentator for 92.1 WQTX Big Country FM. He'll be talking about some of the local high school basketball action that took place, including one specific game that I got the chance to call with Doc on the air yesterday. And what's going on with Michigan Hoops? Can you believe that first they fall to New Jersey Institute of Technology, and then they fall to Eastern Michigan yesterday? What in the world is in the water in Ann Arbor this year, folks? We'll talk about that and so much more. But before we do get to all of that jazz, let's start the show like we always do. Here are your Current Sports quick hit headliners. All right, folks, well, last night was the opening night for many mid-Michigan high school basketball programs. Just want to rattle off a few of the local scores if you didn't catch them last night. Laingsburg top Corunna 50-28. East Lansing gets the win over DeWitt 54-48. A very interesting game in that one. St. John's over Eden Rapids 53-47. Fowler over Ovid Elsie 72-50. Fowlerville over Owosso, 61-48. Okemos tops Lansing Catholic, 62-59. And Portland St. Pat's beats Morris, 43-29. Again, we'll be chatting with Eric Doc Love to dive more into all of the high school basketball action that took place last night and to give us a year preview of some of the teams and players to look for. All right, Jordan Price scored a game-high 11 points off the bench to help Eastern Michigan to a 45-42 win over Michigan. The Wolverines are left reeling. After beating Syracuse, they have dropped two straight head-scratchers. One to New Jersey Institute of Technology. Yes, New Jersey Institute of Technology. And now Eastern Michigan in just a four-day span, folks. Now, the Eagles separated by, of course, just a six-mile drive down Washington Avenue from Michigan's Chrysler Center, hold a 3-27 record versus Michigan, the first Eagles win over the Wolverines since December 20th, 1997, when they pulled off an 89-83 upset in overtime. Can you believe that? All right. Was Duke coach David Cutcliffe approached by Michigan about the Wolverines coaching job? That's the question on many fans' minds, I tell you, because according to NFL.com's Gil Brandt, Cutcliffe was offered the job by Michigan and turned it down. Now, citing a source, the Detroit News said today that there was no truth to the report that Cutcliffe turned down the offer. Now, Cutcliffe has been at Duke since 2008. After four losing seasons, Cutcliffe's Blue Devils are heading to a third straight bowl game in 2014 in the Sun Bowl against Arizona State. Last year's Duke team entered the ACC championship game at 10-2 before losing to Florida State and then to Texas A&M in the Peach Bowl. Nah, puzzling reports there. All right, Michigan's top receiver, junior Devin Funchess, will forgo his final year of college eligibility, to enter the NFL draft this spring. Funchess made the decision to turn pro on Tuesday, according to a statement he made through the university's athletic website. Now, he leaves Michigan with 126 catches for 1,715 yards and 15 TDs in three seasons. All right, Big Ten Commissioner Jim Delaney announced yesterday that Madison Square Garden will be the host of the Big Ten basketball tournament in 2018. Now, the Big East will play there as well, so the Big Ten tournament at the Garden will be a week earlier. Now, Michigan State coach Tom Izzo is concerned with the compressed schedule. According to the Detroit Free Press, Izzo said, quote, "That's probably my biggest concern. not where it is, but the timing. Nobody wants that much time off. It could be 2 weeks because you could play in the league tournament and get beat on a Thursday. Now, it was also announced that there will be an annual basketball and hockey doubleheader at the Garden starting in the year 2016. All right, Buster Olney reported that the Tigers are willing to spend big to keep Max Scherzer in Detroit, but GM Dave Dombrowski called the report inaccurate. Now, Dombrowski said, quote, "I don't know where he got that from. That's not accurate. I'm not sure where it comes from, how it comes. I know it didn't come from this room, but that's not accurate." Now, Scherzer won the Cy Young Award back in 2013 and went 18-5 with a 3.15 ERA with 252 strikeouts in 2014. He seeks to get more than pitcher John Lester, who reportedly signed with the Chicago Cubs for 6 years, $155 million. And the Pistons lose 13th straight. Yeah, the losing continues this week for the Pistons. They lost to the Trailblazers 98-86. And finally, the Detroit Red Wings travel up north to Rogers Center in Toronto tonight to take on the Maple Leafs in an original six rivalry game. Well, that is a lot to talk about, folks. I tell you what, I don't know what in the world is going on out in Ann Arbor this year, you know, from the football season and all that they went through, you know, that culminated with the firing of head coach Brady Hoke, to now what in the world is going on with the basketball team. I mean, they lost the New Jersey Institute of Technology, the NJIT of all schools. They fell to them this past weekend, and then last night, EMU gave them all that they can handle, and they fall to Eastern. They end up losing that game to Eastern, a very low-scoring affair, especially that first half was just brutal to watch. Both teams struggling to find the basket, and Michigan falls in that game. I don't know what in the world is going on, but it is such an odd year out in Ann Arbor, to say the least, folks. Oh, boy. So we'll talk about that, you know, near the closing end of the show. We'll also be inviting Eric Doc Love, high school football and basketball commentator for 92.1 WQTX Big Country FM. I actually got the chance to rock the mic with Eric during the Fowler and Ovid LC boys basketball game. Entertaining game, to say the least. A very close affair up until that fourth quarter happened, and Fowler just seemed to just turn things up to a new gear. They went into a 2-3 zone, well, a 3-2 zone, I should say, that really stifled Ovid LC. And Ovid LC, they seemed just very confused, and Fowler took advantage of that. So I'm just glad to see high school boys basketball back in action here in Mid-Michigan. And that is also certainly an exciting time of the year. So we'll invite Eric to break down that game, to talk about Fowler and Ovid LC, and he'll give us a preview of the coverage that 92.1 will be providing throughout this entire year. They're actually expanding into new territory and covering some schools that they've never covered before throughout this season. He'll talk about that and so much more. And, of course, Doc, being the Michigan fan that he is, he'll also give his thoughts on what in the world is going on out in Ann Arbor. I just don't get it. Crazy stuff. So we'll get to that and so much more. But I want to invite Alex Shard with me now, the man behind the glass. Alex, how you doing? Happy hump day, man.
Happy hump day. Almost over already. Already halfway through the day, man. It's good. Yeah, how about that Michigan loss last night, huh? Did you catch it? I didn't see the game, but
I saw snippets of it. I was out doing play-by-play last night, and Eric and I caught the second half, the start of the second half on the radio. Then I got home. By the time I got home and it was all said and done, the game was finito, and I caught a bit of the highlights. But, man, I mean, can you believe that, though? They lose to the NJIT and then lose to Eastern Michigan. I mean, what in the world is going on now? I mean, yeah. I don't want to say heads must roll right now, because it's still the beginning of the year for Michigan men's basketball, but still, this is an ugly start for this team, one that nobody could have predicted.
Especially not predicting after you beat a good team in Syracuse. It's not like you're on a losing end, you're in a bad streak. Teams go through ups and downs, there's streakiness. Sometimes you just can't make shots out there. But the thing is, with these last two games, Al, Michigan, it's not like they're shooting 20% like Michigan State did in the Duke game. They shot 40%, 47% against NJIT. They just shot better. Both teams just played better, I think, Al.
But when it comes down to Michigan basketball, looking at how they lost to NJIT and looking at what took place last night, simply put, John Beilein's team just doesn't play defense. They are that's one thing that is becoming an Achilles heel for this team so far this year. They give up easy buckets in the paint. The rebounding could also be better, but the defensive effort just hasn't been there. So, again, we'll continue that discussion later on. Again, if you want to weigh in on anything that we talk about here on Current Sports, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. But I want to transition into an early Barbershop Wednesday here. Of course, those of you who tuned into yesterday's Current Sports know that this discussion was coming. We kind of gave you just a brief preview of it yesterday, just kind of talking about athletes and activism, folks. Throughout the world of sports, you've been seeing many athletes don the I Can't Breathe t-shirts in support of the situation that occurred with Eric Gardner, the African-American male who got into a scuffle with police. He was actually choked, and an officer had him in a chokehold. And Eric, you know, his last words were, "I can't breathe." The chokehold was a little bit too tight, and he sadly passed away. It's a case that has gotten much press throughout the entire nation. Anytime you turn on CNN or Fox News or MSNBC, they're talking about it. Celebrities other than the sports world have been protesting about it. There was a march actually on Michigan State's campus this past weekend put on by the Black Student Alliance in protest of it. And it's just piled on because not too long ago, even before that verdict was read, a verdict was read that, of course, didn't bode in the favor of what took place with Officer Wilson in the shooting of Michael Brown out in Ferguson. And that story happened before Eric Gardner. So when you have two socially controversial issues that have taken place back-to-back like that, I mean, there's a lot of people fed up with it right now, and athletes alike. So it really is it's an interesting question because you have athletes like, I don't know if you saw last night, the Los Angeles Lakers, Kobe Bryant, the entire team, they had on the I Can't Breathe t-shirts. The Cleveland Cavaliers, LeBron James and his squad, a few of them donned it. Him and Kyrie Irving had on the I Can't Breathe t-shirts. To put a more local feel to it, Reggie Bush, running back of the Detroit Lions, before their game this past Sunday, Reggie had on the shirt. The St. Louis Rams, they put their hands up and their hands up, don't shoot, in honor of course, Michael Brown. It's really interesting because you're starting to see a lot of athletes, a lot of celebrities, should voice their opinion and voice their stance when it comes to these issues and these conversations in America and in our society. And, you know, it really asks the question, where does the athlete stand when it comes to activism, and what should they or shouldn't they do when it comes to taking political and social stands? So we're going to open that discussion up to start our show today, folks. Here we go. Barbershop Wednesday.
I mean, we can't talk straight in the barbershop. Then where can we talk straight? We can't talk straight nowhere else. You know, this ain't nothing but a healthy conversation.
Yes, healthy conversation, folks. Again, we love to go beyond the X's and O's here on Current Sports, and this is a conversation that does exactly that. I guess I should sort of preface this conversation, Alex, by talking about these two situations and why they've gotten and become so controversial. First off, you got the situation that happened out in Ferguson, of course, with Michael Brown. A situation where you had a young African-American male in Michael Brown. You know, he goes to a local liquor store. It said to, looking at the report here, I'm just reading straight from the report here. He steals cigarillos, which is a small form of a cigar, walks out of the liquor store. The store owner makes a call to the cops. The cops show up and they find Michael along with his companion, a friend of his, walking in the middle of the street. The officer confronts Michael, and then this is where you get so many different witness accounts as to what happened in the situation. There's an account of, I think what we do know when looking at, I'd just like to state what we at least do know when reading the reports from different witnesses here. We do know that Michael Brown was somehow he ended up at the window of Officer Wilson's car. A tussle ensued. Some shots went off. Somehow Michael Brown ends up away from the car, and then he starts to make his way. He starts walking back to Officer Wilson. Some shots ring out, and Michael Brown sadly passes away. And then you had the situation that occurred with Eric Gardner, where Eric Gardner ends up in a tussle with cops, and many people feel as though there was excessive force when it came to the arrest that the cops were trying to do. They were trying to arrest Eric Gardner, and a chokehold ensues from one of the officers to try and get him down on the ground. Eric Gardner is saying, "I can't breathe, I can't breathe," and he eventually goes unconscious and sadly passes away. You got two incidents involving two African-American males that resulted in sadly, both of them passing away, and involving police officers. White police officers at that, because this is certainly becoming a racial discussion. And it's rubbed a lot of people the wrong way. Again, you've had protests that have taken place throughout this entire nation. Protests not just from celebrities, but just from organizations throughout the entire nation. You saw what happened when the verdict was read that, when the jury decided not to indict Officer Wilson in the Michael Brown case. There were protests all throughout Ferguson. Cars being lit on fire, looting going on at different establishments throughout that area. And then once the Eric Gardner verdict was read, where no officers were going to be indicted there, you had also a lot of protests and a lot of angry people out there. So putting on, now going to our Barbershop Wednesday here, when it comes to athletes and activism, Alex, I have to say, when looking at LeBron James, Kobe Bryant, Kyrie Irving, the St. Louis Rams, Reggie Bush, I really have to commend them, because I think that athletes and celebrities alike, when you are known in the public eye, you have a platform that can be used to reach for a change or whatever you're advocating for, more so than just the average person living here in any society, whether it be America or any country at that. Athletes have a platform. Celebrities have a platform to reach and send a message that extends far beyond and wide than your average individual. So when I saw LeBron and Kyrie and all the other athletes doing this, I have to tip my cap to them, because first off, I think it takes a lot of courage, because you can automatically, there are many people out there that disagree with the verdict, and then you have the other side where you have people out there that probably agree with it. You can ruffle a lot of feathers when taking any political or social stand, because there are multiple opinions and points of views that can construe and become clouded. So for athletes, and you can go all the way back. I mean, this is nothing new. When athletes are, when we talk about LeBron and Kyrie and Reggie Bush, okay, they're doing it right now, but there are athletes in the past that weren't afraid to stand up for what they believe was right and make stands as well. And honestly, it added to the legend that were those athletes. Really, the athlete that really stands out to me, that I really find admirable and who proclaimed himself as, of course, one of the greatest athletes and one of the greatest boxers, if not the greatest boxer of all time, was Muhammad Ali. Muhammad Ali took a stand right on the brink of the Vietnam War when the draft was occurring. He was called to fight in the Vietnam War, but Muhammad Ali didn't believe in it. It was not a part of his belief system. He said, "No, I'm not going." That stand is one that we still to this day look back in our history and say, and really, find admirable and say, wow, it's one of those things where you saw, because you really didn't see athletes during that time making a stand like that, a political stand like that. And Muhammad Ali was one of the first. And he sort of started and set a trend for athletes to have that courage to fight and stand up for what they believe in. So first off, Alex, I have to say that I do find it admirable for athletes, and I do find it admirable that LeBron and these other athletes have done this.
Yeah, no, just to start, I agree. I think it's great. If you look at American history, especially with the way wars and government has acted and the way athletes have responded to that, look at with Muhammad Ali, what big influence he had by taking a stance on certain issues. There have been other athletes besides Muhammad Ali as well. So when it comes to athletes kind of taking a stance on a very important social issue this year, I think it's great. I'm for them having a voice in their freedom of speech. I don't really think there's any reason not to to them to have their freedom of speech, maybe in certain situations. But my stance overall, Al, maybe as a preface, is, you know, what do you think about athletes and activism? I think it's great, just as a preface and a start.
Yeah, I do too. You know, and it's one of those things. I mean, flat out, these are two situations that ruffled a lot of feathers because, again, and we actually played the Charles Barkley rant that he had during the CNN interview. If you didn't hear Charles Barkley's views, he had some interesting takes that just talked about the African-American community in general and how we as African-Americans, me, and I can say this, you know, firsthand because me being an African-American male here in America, I mean, definitely, I've dealt with racist issues and issues of prejudice throughout my time, you know, here at Michigan State, even back in Detroit. And, you know, so these are two instances that for me, just my personal point of view for it, it definitely rubbed me the wrong way, especially in the Eric Gardner case, because you actually had video of what happened. I sort of, to a degree, understood why Officer Wilson in the first case was not indicted, because you had all of these conflicting witness reports that as a jury, when you really boil it down and said, okay, what do we really have to convict Officer Wilson on? I mean, there was really no concrete fluid evidence that said, okay, this is what happened. There were too many gray areas in that case. But here in the Eric Gardner case, what really got me and what was really so surprising to me was that you had video of this incident, and I feel as though it was excessive force, and how I don't understand how a man can lose his life and is all caught on camera and nobody is punished for it. So for me, I mean, and a lot of people felt the same way, obviously, because you're having these different protests, you're having these different conversations, and people are angry, point blank, period. And specifically African-Americans are angry. And when you look into sports, there are a lot, especially in the NBA, too. And, you know, we had this discussion when going back with the issue that happened at, you know, with the L.A. Clippers, Los Angeles Clippers, and Donald Sterling and the remarks he made when it came to African-Americans. And the NBA is 70 to 80% black. So when you have a situation like this, you are going to ruffle the feathers of many people, including athletes, and they're upset about it, and they're going to voice their opinion. And those who have the courage, athletes who have the courage to do that, I commend, because it's easy to get a lot of backlash from many people. Alex, I believe we have a caller. Who do we have on line one? Do we have a caller? Oh, we have the Barkley back. Excuse me. We do have the Barkley back. For those of you who didn't hear the Charles Barkley snippet, here it is.
We've always had a racial issue in this country. And the biggest problem with it is we never discuss race until something bad happens. We never have meaningful dialogue over a cold beer when things are going good. But what happens is when something bad happens, everybody has a tribe mentality. Everybody want to protect their own tribe, whether they're right or wrong.
What do you mean when they're right or wrong?
We all got bad characters in our group. We all got bad characters. So my grandmother taught me, you judge everybody on their own individual merits. You don't care what any other jackass has to say. You don't put everybody together. Black is not always right, and white is not always wrong. You got some bad apples who taking advantage of the situation. That's the plan. You got, and that's unfortunate, because this is a serious, somebody lost a child. And this is something we need to sit back and discuss and figure out what happened, what went wrong. But let me say this. The notion that white cops are out there just killing black people, that's ridiculous. It's just flat out ridiculous. And I challenge any black person to try to make that point. This notion that cops are actually awesome. You know, they're the only thing in the ghetto from between this place being the Wild Wild West. So this notion that cops are out there just killing black men, it's ridiculous. And I hate that narrative coming out of this entire situation. There's some black people out there who are crooks. And when the police come to your neighborhood, it's a tense situation. The only time you interact with the cops is when things are going wrong. That's the only time we ever interact with the cops. But first of all, we as black people, we got a lot of crooks. We can't just wait until something like this happened.
Now, you know what? It was interesting to read the backlash that Charles Barkley received when he gave that rant. There were many people, who saw the interview, and many people, African-Americans or any race alike, that didn't agree with Barkley. I went on the show actually last week, and actually for what Charles Barkley said, and I watched the interview many times now. Charles Barkley, for me, I pretty much agreed with just about everything that he said. Now, when he talks about crooks in the African-American community, let's be honest here, in every race, no matter what color your skin is, there's crooks everywhere. So that the notion that there's just crooks in the African-American race, sure, there is, definitely, without a doubt. But that's in every race. I really thought it was interesting because Charles Barkley had a different angle on this whole spin where he talked about cops. Because right now, and talking, especially when I went home for Thanksgiving, Alex, it was interesting because I went home for Thanksgiving and my uncle and my dad, they're very active in the African-American community and very active in trying to make a change and advocating for situations like this and voicing their opinion about situations like this. So when I saw it, I wanted to get their take on it. It was interesting because they also made a very good point that, yes, there are cops out there. And I have had situations where that I've been in a car, and I think I told this story before on Current Sports, where I got pulled over for no reason. I'm in the car with a few of my frat brothers, and we got pulled over for no reason. I was doing the speed limit. I get pulled over, and I'm not the one who gets punished. It was actually my frat brother who was in the passenger seat, and he's like, "Oh, you didn't have your seat belt buckled up, and I'm giving you a ticket." It was one of those things. It was like, it was just really nitpicky. And I've been in other situations where we just got pulled over for no reason, and the cop just wanted to see what was going on and just let us go. And it's situations like that that make you wonder, like, okay, why in the world did that just happen? So I've definitely been in situations like that. But not every cop out there, this is what I agree with Charles Barkley with, not every cop out there is out to get African-Americans. And again, it's like, the old saying, one rotten apple makes the entire bunch spoil. You know what I mean? There are some out there. And when you have situations like what went down out in Ferguson, when you have a situation, what went down, with Eric Gardner, it makes the entire spectrum of cops look bad. It was interesting. And again, going back to athletes and activism, Charles Barkley, being one of the greatest basketball players of all time and being so outspoken, he has a platform. He has a voice that, frankly, holds a lot of weight. And frankly, when he talks, a lot of people stop and say, okay, what did he have to say? You and me, Alex, yeah, we have a little bit of reach because we are a part of the media. We are on a public atmosphere here. But again, as an athlete, as somebody who's at a celebrity stature such as Charles Barkley and so on and so forth, they have a responsibility, I think, and a certain clout that we don't have as average people. I really think it's interesting. It's really interesting. Charles Barkley's comment is really interesting. We have a caller on line one. Mary is on the phone. How you doing, Mary? You are on Current Sports.
I am well, thanks. How are you?
Thank you. Very well.
My comment really pertains to the entire situation that, we talk about needing to change things. We talk about needing to get better relations with police officers. I'm married to a cop. Mm-hmm. So I may be biased. But my feeling is, if a cop tells you to do something, you do it. If a man breaks into your house and he has a gun and he says, get on the floor, are you going to argue with him?
Right.
You're going to get on the floor. And I think I really respect a lot of the athletes who are speaking out against this, whether I agree with them or not. They're speaking out in rational, civil mm-hmm. ways that don't make people angrier. It's not, they're not throwing gasoline on the fire. They're making a statement saying, we agree with this, or we're on this side, or we think this.
Right.
I hope that's clear.
Yeah, no, it is. And you know what, Mary? Interesting to get your perspective on this because, I mean, you being married to a police officer, I mean, what has been his opinion, his take on everything that's taken place in regards to these two past cases?
Well, the Ferguson case, he was basically on the side of the cop.
Mm-hmm.
With what they presented and what the prosecutor presented. Now, is the prosecutor straight? We don't know. He's an elected official. We didn't elect him. We don't know what he does. Does the situation need to be looked at? Eric Holder, the Attorney General, and the Justice Department are doing that.
Mm-hmm.
That's aside. The case in New York, the Garner case, I don't know. I mean, the man should have done what he was told to do. Put your hands behind your back. I'm going to put some handcuffs on you.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine. He should have done that. However, I think it might have gone a bit too far because losing your life over cigarettes.
Right. Exactly.
Selling single cigarettes, that's a little drastic to me.
Right.
Do we hope that another jury or the Justice Department looks at it and rules differently? Well, I hope they get to the bottom of it.
Yeah.
That's the way my husband looks at it. My husband is quite seriously, he's a little nervous right now.
Right.
Walking out there because he's like, we're not all bad.
Exactly. And that's the main point. And that's why I agree. When you hear, you know, Barkley's comments, that's the biggest thing I want to convey because
I loved his comments.
I did as well. I agree 100% with it because when you have situations like this, the overall perception that it paints for all cops mm-hmm. is that they're all out there to get African Americans. And that's the perception I think is getting skewed in this whole conversation. I really thought it was interesting that he brought that up. Definitely.
Yeah. It's one of those things, you know, we talk about racial profiling. Yes, it happens.
Yeah.
But there are ways in which you can't help but have it happen. But like I said, with these guys that got shot or got killed, I do believe that they might both be alive today had they just done what the cop asked them to do.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Hey, Mary, thanks a lot for your insight and call. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Folks, if you want to weigh in on this discussion, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. We'll be taking your calls right here live on the air. And yes, I mean, yeah, folks, at the end of the day as well, it was really interesting because before we hit the break here and get to our guest, I watched a very interesting story that was done by ABC News last night. And, you know, that situation of Aaron Gardner, have you ever seen Do the Right Thing, Alex? Spike Lee, it's a Spike Lee directed film. If you have not seen Do the Right Thing, you gotta watch Do the Right Thing. It is a very interesting story that mimics it almost to the T. And this movie was done 25 years ago. Spike Lee directed film. It mimics almost exactly what happened to Eric Gardner in that whole situation. But it was a very interesting take. And the actor who portrayed what exactly happened in that movie talked about how, you know, we can't go asking for trouble. In situations. Again, if Michael Brown doesn't go in there and steal the cigarillos, maybe we're not talking about a situation at all here. You know, and maybe if Eric Gardner isn't supposedly selling cigarettes, Lucy's, then maybe he doesn't put himself in that position either. Now, should they have lost their life? Not at all. This more so had to do, I think, with the protocol of what happened after the cops arrived on the scene, more so than how it started. But folks, it shouldn't have started in the first place as well. So that's also a different take on it. We actually have another caller before we hit the break. Tom from Lansing is online, too. Tom, how you doing? You are on Current Sports.
Good afternoon. I just wanted to comment on your topic of discussion.
Yeah.
And I'll do so because there'll be a couple of quick comments. Charles Barkley remarking on Law and Order.
Mm-hmm.
He was quite a bit of a heck raiser during his days. But, you know, money colors the way you look at situations, and I think that part of his opinion is colored by money. Yes, there are a lot of African-American crooks, but I don't think that 50% of the criminal activity in America is done by African-Americans.
Right.
They're 50% of the people in jail, And I've been talking with my son about the situation. He was an African-American 16-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
And the point of this, of contention here is if you're an African-American, you can get killed for a thought.
Right.
You know, because they always say, well, the police, they always ask the police, well, why did you shoot him? Well, I thought he had a gun. I thought he made a move. I thought he looked mean.
Right.
You get killed over. And so it's not so much that all cops are bad. It's that the bad ones get away with it. And there's no punishment. Neither one of these cases you're talking about made it to a trial. If there had been a trial where all the evidence was discussed, I mean, look at Trayvon Martin. People didn't like that. There was a trial. There was a discussion. Things came out. And eventually we got over that. But what we're finding is that this is like it's an everyday situation. Cop kills black kid. Oh, well, we thought he did something. He didn't. Our bad. Sorry. But you don't see other people getting killed like that. And if they were, you would see a lot more people marching in the street. So I think it's a different perspective. And I appreciate you hearing my comment.
Yeah. Hey, thanks a lot, Tom. I really appreciate your call. Definitely a good take on that as well. Definitely. All right, folks. Well, unfortunately, we have to put our Barbershop Wednesday topic on pause here, but we'll be still taking your calls all the way up until 2 p.m. What do you think about athletes and activism? Why they should or shouldn't take social or political stands? Again, 517-355-9527. When we come back, we'll be talking with Eric Doc Love, high school football and basketball commentator for 92.1 WQTX Big Country. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. I'm sitting here in the studio with my shirt and tie and dress shoes on, folks. I got to get ready for the TV show later on tonight, folks. You don't want to miss it tomorrow night on WKAR-TV. Of course, it's basketball season. Yeah, basketball fever is certainly in the air. Last week, high school girls basketball started around here in mid-Michigan, and I'll be chatting with one of the best coaches around this area. His name is Rob Smith. He is the head girls basketball coach over at East Lansing High School. You do not want to miss that chat, folks. Again, catch Current Sports TV on your television each and every Thursday night at 10 p.m. Again, my guest this week, Rob Smith of the East Lansing girls basketball team. All right, folks. Well, let's get to our guest for today's Current Sports. My man, Eric Doc Love, high school football and basketball commentator for 92.1 WQTX Big Country. He's going to talk about everything, boys, high school hoops, and so much more. Doc, how you doing, my man?
Hey, good, Al. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, thanks a lot for joining me today. Now, you know, Doc, you and I rocked the mic for the Ovid, Elsie, and Fowler game last night at Fowler Middle School. A 72-50 final with Fowler taking that when the Eagles getting the win. What did you see from Fowler that you liked throughout that game?
Well, you know, they really kind of changed it up in the second half. It was pretty back and forth, high-paced action in the first half. It was real close. Fowler got out to a 10-point lead, and Ovid, Elsie, they responded a couple of times, and then that fourth quarter, things really kind of changed for Fowler. They went to that 3-2 zone, and it kind of just it was a stalwart for the Marauders over at Elsie. They just couldn't find their offense, and things just kind of slowed down. They bogged down offensively, and then Fowler just kind of turned down the jets, and they picked up a big win.
Yes, certainly. Now, you know, even though Ovid Elsie dropped in that game, I mean, what did you see from that team that they can build upon as the season moves on?
They got some pretty good players on that team. Where Ben Stillwell had a terrific game for them last night. They got some big bodies out there like Stevens down there in the center who can do a pretty good job of rebounding. They got a real quick guard that can help them too. So they got a lot of good guys over at Elsie. They just got to work on that. You got to break that zone. You got to find those guys open, attack the basket a little bit more. You got to make some free throws, man, because they were not good in that second half. That was really one of the things that kind of turned the game as well for Fowler. They made their free throws, What else did they didn't?
Yeah, that was the biggest thing when we were doing that game last night. I mean, free throws. I mean, they're free, folks. You got to hit those, and that's something that Ovid LC definitely boded in their demise in losing that game. Now, Fowler, of course, Doc, is in the C-MAC, of course, with along teams like Dansville, Langsburg, St. Patrick, Bath, PW. I mean, you guys follow the C-MAC pretty closely there at 92-1. How competitive is that conference, Doc?
I mean, the CMAC is real big competition. You know,
oh, do we have him? I think we don't. I think Doc just dropped on us. We'll try to get Doc back on. Can we give him he'll probably call back for us. But yeah, folks, I mean, we were at that game last night. Again, it was the opening night for many schools, actually 50 programs around the Mid-Michigan area for boys high school varsity hoops. And again, I was rocking the mic. I was doing, is Doc back? Do we got him? We don't have him. Okay, I thought I heard him. But, yeah, I mean, we were there at Fowler High School. Well, Fowler Middle School is where they play the games. And, yeah, I mean, Fowler, they have a very, very impressive team. Both teams love to get up and down the court. And, again, folks, yeah, the C-MAC, I mean, each and every year. And, Doc, do we have Doc back on?
I'm here.
Doc is back. I'm sorry, Doc. I think you may have a bad signal wherever you're at.
I'm just sitting at home, man.
That's crazy. Are you on your cell phone?
I'm on my cell phone, yeah.
Okay, I don't know. We'll see. Well, let's continue. I mean, you were talking about the competitiveness in the C-MAC. I mean, again, teams like Dansville, Langsburg, St. Patrick, Bath, and PW, just kind of put in perspective just how competitive the C-MAC is.
It's real competitive. Plano, Australia was a real good team last year, went to the Class C state title. You know, they graduated pretty much their entire team, though. But every year, the CMAC, it's always a back-and-forth battle. Fulton is really good as well. You know, Fowler's got a really good team this season. Langford, they got a new coach, Coach Mitchell. Greg Mitchell moved on to Hope College, but they still have some real good players. The CMAC, it's smaller schools, but you know the competition is still great, and they're a real fun game.
Yeah, certainly. And, you know, I want to talk about, of course, Luke Pohl's team out at PW. I mean, coming off a season, making it all the way to the Breslin Center, falling just short to Detroit Consortium. I mean, what do you think of his team this year? Because it seems like they lost a lot of key pieces and a lot of senior leadership last year.
Yeah, I mean, they graduated like 11 or 12 guys, something like that. Pretty much the entire rotation, obviously all the starting five, they all graduated. They got a real young squad, but Coach Pohl, he's such a good coach. He just knows how to, you know, coach him up is what they always say. And he'll find a way. You know, they'll be competitive every year because they play such good defense as a team. They can just do it all defensively, and they'll find a way to just kind of eke out some of those victories. And, you know, they're kind of picked maybe towards the middle of the CMAC, but you never know. They might step up and be at the top again.
Yeah, whenever I tell you what, like you said, I mean, with Luke Pohl, you can always be assured that his teams are going to be competitive and at least playing hard each and every game. There's no nights off if you're playing PW, I tell you that for sure. Now, for you, Doc, I mean, what teams are you most excited to cover this year? And we talked yesterday briefly about how you guys plan on covering some new territory for the boys' basketball season, sort of similar to what you guys did for football this year. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Well, yeah, we're sticking to mostly some of the CMAC schools. And we did a little bit of CAAC red, but we're really kind of expanding out there, trying to get some of the CAAC blue schools like Holt, Grand Ledge, you know, East Lansing, some of those places we haven't been to before, maybe Okemos, Hazlitt, some of those kind of teams. We've seen a few of them on the road. We haven't been to those places before. We haven't been to their gyms, and I'm real excited to check out East Lansing, especially with Mikhail Miles transferring in from Corona. He's a real talented player. They got a big win last night against DeWitt in the season opener.
Yeah.
And I really like to see East Lansing. Holt is a really good team. They've got some terrific returning players this season. Grand Ledge as well. They only graduated one guy from last season. They got a lot of good guys. Cassell Jones, guys like that. They're going to really step up big time for the Comets. And we have, you know, some of our usual stalwarts, DeWitt Panthers. They're kind of in a rebuilding year too. But, you know, Coach Marlin does such a good job. You all know that they'll be competitive once again this season. Portland Raiders are in the same situation, graduated a lot of guys. Coach Pettit is going to try and, you know, get those young guys together out there. We do, you know, Bat Bees at CMAC as well. Lansing Catholic, they fell short last night in their season opener, but you might have to think that's probably because of the short time between going from football championship to, you know, maybe 1 week,
right,
possibly, of practice time with those guys.
Yeah, that is certainly true. And for you, Doc, I mean, on the flip side of things, I mean, you being a commentator for 92.1, I mean, again, you just finished a full slate for football. You were actually out at Ford Field to cover the state championship game as Lansing Catholic fell just a bit short. I mean, how do you flip that switch as a commentator from football, then right into basketball not too long after?
Well, you know, we talked briefly about that last night before the game. I was like, you know, Al, I think I took maybe a couple hours off from that football championship on Saturday after Thanksgiving until getting ready for basketball season. I was already preparing. You know, I pretty much had the season already set together, like kind of teams that I was looking for, matchups that I wanted to get, but I was just trying to, you know, work out the kinks. And it was a quick transition, let me tell you. It was pretty much like, all right, I guess football's over. Let's get ready for some hoops.
Exactly. I tell you what, it's really admirable. I mean, you just from football right to basketball, you are certainly a busy man. Folks, again, our phone lines are open. If you have any high school basketball questions for Doc, again, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. You can also tweet me at AlMartinWKR and shoot a question at Doc, or go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports and leave us a question there. I actually have two questions for you here, Doc. One from my Twitter feed. Well, actually, both of these questions come from my Twitter feed. At Philanthropic wants to know, how do you go about prepping for a game as a commentator? And, Doc, how did you end up in that biz?
Well, you know, the preparation really is going and talking to coaches and they're just trying to get a feel for the teams. You know, there's a lot of information on the internet and you can look at stats and stuff like that, but you really got to kind of go and talk to coaches and athletic directors and just watch practice. I'm actually in St. John's right now. I'm going to go check out for our matchup this Friday. St. John's is hosting DeWitt. That's a big rivalry matchup. You really got to go and talk to the coaches and, you know, find the right questions and kind of poke at a little bit when they don't want to give you the right kind of answer. You know how that is, Al.
Oh, I know. I can write a book on that, Doc.
Yeah. You just got to go talk to coaches, watch practice, you know, maybe a little bit of word of mouth from your colleagues if you can. And it's a lot of prep work sometimes, but it's a lot of fun. And I went to Central Michigan for broadcasting, so that's how I got started in the business. Just was trying to do that. I hadn't gotten anything going for a couple years after that, and finally hooked down with 92.1 Big Country, and we started doing this 3 years ago. I mean, 3.5 years ago we started with football, and now we are in our third season of basketball.
That's fantastic. All right, thanks a lot for that question at Philanthropic. And also we have another one here for you from at Zell Wash. He wants to know, what's your favorite sport to commentate on, football or basketball, and why, Doc?
That's a tough one. Football really is my love. I mean, that's my favorite sport by far. I wish there was a longer season, maybe. Of course, we're all the way to the championship for Lansing Catholic, but football is my favorite for sure, but I love basketball too. We get a lot of games. We got 28 games in the regular season on 92.1 Big Country this year, and, you know, it's a lot of fun. So I would give the toss, you know, the coin toss to football, but it's real close between the two of them.
There you go. Hey, they're both certainly exciting, I tell you. All right, well, for you, Doc, I mean, what teams this year that you guys are following there at 92.1, what teams this year that you guys are covering do you think can make it all the way to the Breslin Center and possibly compete for a state championship?
Well, Lansing Catholic, once again, they had such a terrific football year. Tony Poljan stepped up huge, junior quarterback, was great, led them to Ford Field. He's just as good, maybe better on the basketball court. 6'7", can throw it down. He's mobile. You got a good guard, Matthew Feta, as well for Lansing Catholic. I think maybe they've got an opportunity to go to the Breslin Center for, you know, championship. Grand Ledge, the Comets, like I talked about before, they got a lot of returning guys. They got some real good players on that team. They've got the opportunity. East Lansing, I mentioned them before, you know, with the transfer of Mikhail Miles from Corona, that makes them a real good Trojan squad because that guy can bring a lot to them. St. John's has got a pretty solid squad. The Red Wings, they got a lot of returning. They only had two seniors last year. You got talking about Austin Irvin, one of those 6'6 guys down in the middle. He's mobile. He can shoot the three-pointer as well if they need to. I think those are really kind of the big ones. Fowler, we saw them last night. The Eagles are pretty solid. You know, they got some big boys down there that can rebound real well. Mm-hmm. Yeah, those are really kind of the teams that stick out for me. Maybe Williamson, they got some really good players. Hazlitt's pretty solid, so, you know, same with Okemos, but I think, you know, for championship, maybe, if, you know, we're one game in, and we're going to talk about championship already, but,
right.
You know, Lansing Catholic, you know, Grand Ledge, those kind of teams really stick out for me as possibly making that run to Breslin.
All right, well, time will certainly tell. All right, Doc, before I get you out of here, now, you told me not to bring it up, but this is perfect segue into our final segment here on Today's Current Sports. Again, Michigan basketball is reeling, to say the least. They lost to New Jersey Institute of Technology. Then they lose to Eastern Michigan last night. I mean, what in the world is going on out in Ann Arbor, Doc?
I don't know, Al. Yeah, I told you earlier today, I'm like, man, I don't really want to talk about this because it's tough. Something's going on in Ann Arbor, and it's not good.
Yeah.
And I got a couple of buddies of mine, big Wolverines fans like me, and I don't know what's going on down there. Both teams played hard. I mean, is it the old Rashid thing? Both teams played hard. I don't know because their defense has been terrible.
Yeah.
They haven't been shooting great. At times, they take a lot of threes. People give them criticism for that, but that's a beeline team. I mean, they always shoot threes. When it was at West Virginia, it was the same thing. They'd like to shoot from beyond the arc. But if I had the answer for you, maybe I'd be down there coaching. I don't know because it's tough.
Well, I'll tell you what, Doc, I mean, I tell you what, keep calm and keep your head about you. I know with the football, way the football year went, now with what's going on with this year's basketball team, oh, boy, you being a Michigan fan, I can only imagine how you're feeling, man. But keep your head up, brother. And, hey, thanks a lot, Doc, for joining me again. Eric Doc Love, high school football and basketball commentator of 92.1 WQTX Big Country FM. Eric, thanks a lot, my man.
Hey, thanks for having me, Al.
All right, gotta love that. Doc is one, I tell you, he's one of the nicest guys you ever meet in your life, folks. All right, let's hit our second break, and then when we come back, we'll wrap up the show by talking about what in the world is going on out in Ann Arbor, including Devin Funchess to the NFL. And did Cutcliffe really turn that U of M job down? We'll talk about that as well. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Again, folks, if you want to call in and weigh on anything that we talk about here on today's show, 517-355, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. We have about 7 minutes left in the show. Again, our hotly debated topic here on the show for Barbershop Wednesday has to do with athletes and activism, why they should or shouldn't take social political stands. We've had a few callers weigh in on that discussion, of course, with the I Can't Breathe t-shirts that the Cleveland Cavaliers, the Los Angeles Lakers, the St. Louis Rams had their hands up, don't shoot, gesture in support of Michael Brown, and even Reggie Bush with the I Can't Breathe t-shirts. The I Can't Breathe t-shirts, of course, in support of Eric Gardner, the Eric Gardner case, and what's going on out there. So really interesting because you're starting to see sports and politics and social issues collide, and this is one of those conversations that definitely many people have thoughts and opinions on. Again, folks, 517-355-9527. But to wrap up the show, let's talk about University of Michigan really briefly here, Alex. Again, Jordan Price, he came off the bench, had 11 points. He was a really big component in last night's win for Eastern Michigan as they got a huge win over the Michigan men's basketball team, 45-42, the final of that one. Again, after beating the Cuse, they have dropped two straight head scratchers. They lost to the New Jersey Institute of Technology over the weekend. That took place, I believe Saturday that game took place, and then EMU, again, all in a four-day span. The last time EMU beat the Wolverines was back in 1997 on December 20th. So, I just don't know. I mean, Alex, it's crazy because you look at what has been going on with the Michigan football team and how they had just a terrible year. A lot of question marks for that team. They let go of Brady Hoke. And of course, you know, Devin Funchess actually, he decides to leave the program and hit and take his talents to the NFL, which I certainly agree with. But now you have the men's basketball team, which isn't a bad team. I mean, the makeup on this team, I mean, you got Derek Walton Jr., you got Zach Irvin, Spike Aubrey has shown signs of life this year. He has been a great component to the team. I think this team is one that can certainly be one, at least in the top 25, but they're not playing like it. And a lot of it has to do with what Doc just alluded to. I mean, watching and, well, listening to a little bit of that game yesterday after I had finished commentating the Ovid, Elsie, and Fowler game last night, this team really just lacks defensive effort, and I think they lack a leader as well, Alex. And when you have those two components, if you don't play defense and you have no sense of leadership, that is certainly one of the prime recipes to demise for any team in any sport. John Beilein now has his hands full, and I even looked in a few forums this morning, and there were forums calling for John Beilein to be fired, and I'm sitting there like, whoa, 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 whoa. I think let's pump the brakes here. I feel as though a lot of coaches out there, head coaches, they take a lot of unnecessary blame. They take the blunt of the blame whenever a team is having a bad year. I think, yes, sure, you can blame John Beilein for a little bit of what's going on. But at the end of the day, a coach can only do so much to motivate his guys to go out there and get the job done. This is more so a player problem than I think a coaching problem. Alex, I don't know if you agree with that. What do you think?
Yeah, well, you have to actually shed light because remember last year when Nick Stauskas was playing and McGarry was playing, and we were kind of hounding a little bit out. We can't deny this about Stauskas not playing a lot of defense. We talked about that a little bit. We talked about that, not just him, but it looked like Michigan at points didn't play a lot of defense. Now you could argue there may be worse. It sheds light on the fact that, hey, maybe Stauskas and McGarry deserve a lot more credit last year with their defense. And maybe it looks like maybe those were some of the better defenders they had on the team. So when it comes to this year, Al, and the fact that Michigan basketball has lost two straight games, a lot of the main reasons, as you say, maybe on defense, I'd have to agree. I mean, offensively, they're still shooting 40%. They shot 47% against the New Jersey Institute of Technology. It's not like they're going, you know, 1-for-11 from three-point land. They're making shots. They just can't stop the other team.
But I tell you what, in that first half, though, I feel as though those stats are kind of padded. Anytime you have – the final score only hit the 40s for both of these teams. And that first half, I heard, was ugly to watch. I was actually following Rod Beard. He's the beat writer for Michigan basketball, for Michigan football. He also covers the Lions for the Detroit News. And his Twitter feed was pretty funny. He gave the halftime score, which was something like ridiculous, like 20-19 or something like that. And he's like, that's your halftime score. I'll spare you the gory details. A very bad shooting effort from both of those teams last night. But I don't know. I don't know what in the world is going on in Ann Arbor, man. But I do think this Michigan team will get it together. Again, I love John Beilein. I think he's one of the best coaches in this entire nation. He's one of the best coaches in all of college basketball. Put my trust in that guy. This team will be fine. But to lose to the New Jersey Institute of Technology, the New Jersey Institute of Technology and the fall to Eastern Michigan University, it does not look good out in Ann Arbor,
no,
man.
It doesn't.
I don't know.
They just have too many tools to not succeed.
Exactly. They got a lot of weapons, and I think they will get better as the year goes on. Really quickly, do you agree with Devin Funchess' move to go to the NFL?
I think he could have waited another year, but I think no matter what, he'll be a great receiver.
Very athletic, very athletic. I mean, if he impresses in the combine, we all know the combine is the end-all, be-all when it comes to your draft stock. I think he made the right decision here, though. With the state that Michigan football is in,
I mean, were stats that great on paper? Sure, it's about the player, but
it
could affect them.
You just don't know what you're going to get with this team next year.
But I don't know if he's going to go. You think he's going to go what, second, third round? I don't know about first round for Funchess.
If he impresses in the combine, possibly.
Yeah,
I don't know. We'll see. All right, well, we are unfortunately out of time, folks. Thanks so much to all of you for tuning in to today's Current Sports. Want to shout out our callers who gave some very good takes on our Barbershop Wednesday today, athletes and activism. Shout out to Eric Doc Love of 92.1 Big Country FM. You've been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. Take care, and as always, be easy, people.